Hi, this is Shay Dreffs. This is the first podcast by Sydney Finkelstein, a professor of strategy and leadership at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. Today's topic is what I learned from Michael Kors. Now, I'm familiar with Michael Kors from shopping, of course, but I'm curious, Sid, what got you interested in Michael Kors and fashion?
Well, Shay, the thing that got me interested is recently I was invited to give a keynote speech at Women's Wear Daily Fashion CEO Summit, which is quite an interesting thing to be doing. Lots of CEOs from the industry, and I learned a ton there. And Michael Kors gave a keynote speech, and I was really impressed with some of what he said and how he carried himself. And it was really interesting to see how much respect was given to him by others for what that company has created. And it got me thinking, you know, what are some of the lessons that go beyond Michael Kors in the fashion industry that we could share with others?
Fascinating. Well, I'm curious to hear what you have to say now, so let's get going.
Fashion for the Instagram generation, or what I learned from Michael Kors. I spent a couple of days this week hanging out with Michael Kors. Actually, the superstar designer whose namesake fashion company has been on a tear since the 2011 IPO, probably didn't know I was in the same room at the preeminent conference for CEOs in fashion, apparel, and retail we were both attending. But I did learn a lot from what he and many others shared in formal presentations and impromptu conversation. What I learned is actually relevant to a wide swath of leaders across industries and across national boundaries. Lesson one, there is a race to understand the millennial generation, and so far, no one is winning. Most people focus on the proclivities of millennials, the generation born between 1981 and 2002, while on the job. But the bigger question revolves around what attracts them to a product or service. After all, the generation reared on smartphones and laptops will dwarf the previously dominant baby boomers in size and influence, and it will be the biggest generation of consumers for years to come. The answer to that question so far is a mystery. At dinner one night, a senior executive of a major retailer was thrilled to hear that my 22-year-old daughter loved the jeans she bought from that retailer. This executive was not just thrilled, but almost beside herself because of the challenges this particular company had in breaking through to millennials. Apparel designers and retailers know they've got to better understand the millennial customer, and they're making a big effort to do so. The best know that the answers of the past are not necessarily the right ones today and into the future. You can't sit on the sidelines and hope to magically figure this one out either. You've got to be in the game. Lesson two, adapting to the digital sales revolution is still a huge challenge. Everyone was talking about e-commerce, and every retailer, of course, has a presence online. But then there's a company like ASOS, the British online juggernaut that has amassed $5 billion market cap by selling dozens of brands to millions of customers in virtually every country in the world. The problem is not that apparel retailers don't understand the trend. They do. It's just that they, like all incumbents in an industry, must disrupt many long-cherished assumptions to fully embrace the online opportunity. All of the sales growth in this industry is coming from online. There's really no option, no choice. ASOS CEO Nick Robertson pulled no punches in his presentation. It was a wake-up call for the audience, but it's the same one that should be ringing in the executive suites of companies in almost every industry. The rise and incredible power of online business is not exactly news, yet even in 2013 and 2014, there are plenty of companies that find the transition daunting. Lesson three, it's not bricks and mortar versus online, it's both. Despite all the costs associated with physical stores, people still like to shop in person, still like to touch the product, and still like to experience the process of buying. Amazon, the giant of online sales, if not profits just yet, has invested billions of dollars in bricks and mortar via enormous cloud computing facilities and massive order fulfillment warehouses. Google and eBay are also active in using their technological platforms to enable local stores to serve as mini distribution centers. Apple also has had a huge influence on retailers. Of course, Apple has. Apple is teaching fashion retailers about the importance of mobile in the store. Who needs cash registers, after all, when you can check out on an iPhone? They're teaching about customer service. Maybe not crew members wearing blue or red t-shirts, but plenty of knowledgeable help at the ready for customers. And of course, they're teaching about strategy, setting up an online channel as a complement and not a replacement for the store experience. So there'll be lots more to come on this one. It's an ongoing learning experience. Lesson four, next generation leaders come with some built-in advantages. Selling to their millennial peers, building businesses on digital platforms, is it possible that younger leaders are better positioned to capitalize on these trends? Consider the online clothing retailer Nasty Gal. It's nothing short of a phenomenon. founded by Sofia Amoruso 7 years ago as a way to make some money selling vintage clothes on eBay, the company has grown to $100 million in revenue and is gaining even more momentum. The company's core customer is the millennial woman. Likely in her 20s, this shopper values brand uniqueness, online experiences, and a deep immersion into all aspects of the brand. Founder Amoruso labeled this core customer as obsessed with the brand. And who wouldn't like to have customers like that? I was particularly struck by how Amoruso described the relationship of the company with the customer. The customer has a seemingly insatiable appetite for information about the clothes, so Nasty Gal continually updates the website with new content, including blogs. Social media such as Pinterest, Instagram, in this context, it's not an add-on, it's not incidental to the marketing effort, it's the absolute core of the marketing effort. The contrast with how CEOs of more established brands discuss social media and communication millennial style was striking. For the usually older, male CEOs, there were pros and cons to social media. For the 29-year-old Amoruso, that equation doesn't even enter the discussion. Social media is in her DNA and in the DNA of her customers. She doesn't need to learn how to make social media work. Just as importantly, she doesn't need to unlearn old habits that now get in the way. It's who she is, and it's a huge advantage. Each of these lessons is not specific to the fashion, apparel, and retail sectors. Hanging out with leaders in these companies has reinforced for me the wide applicability of what they're experiencing today. Fashionistas are usually a season or two ahead of everyone else. But when it comes to leading the charge on millennials and digital, with rare exceptions like ASOS and Amoruso, they're still figuring it out like everyone else. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Sid Finkelstein.